Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work and a journey through the soul to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker in training and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com, Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
Well, good afternoon. Here we are again. Alma's not here today, but Betty is. And our little doggy Angie is here listening to the show. Today, I'm not sure what the topic is. Betty wanted codependency, and she said, well, maybe we should talk about integrity. Mm-hmm. We were talking about integrity, and she hasn't been feeling well, and I keep asking her, did you go to the doctor yet? And she keeps saying, no, I gotta go, but she doesn't go. And she keeps getting sicker, and she gets a cold, and then she doesn't have a cold, and then she has a cold again, and she's not feeling well. And we were discussing the fact that integrity means doing what you say, not just saying, yeah, I got to go to the doctor, or yeah, I have to make that phone call, or yeah, I know, I got to go back to school, yeah, I got to do this, or I got to do that, and then don't do it. Integrity doesn't necessarily mean just talking to another person and saying, okay, I'll call you tomorrow, and you call, or maybe you don't. It's not that simple. It's more, and this has a lot to do with self-esteem. It has to do with you tell yourself you're going to do something for yourself, and then you don't do it. You have people in your life that you keep saying, that person has to get out of my life, or I have to change my friends, or I have to get rid of this person, and then you don't do it. And you stay in friendships and in relationships and in situations where you're not happy. And I know that my parents were miserable. Not only were they miserable with each other, but they made the rest of us even more miserable. They stayed together because of the children. But the biggest mistake they made was staying together because of the children, because they were making the children miserable. And so that's where all the beatings come in, because they're frustrated. My mother would scream. My mother was a screamer. And she would scream and yell all day. And everything was wrong, and everything we did was wrong, and it was horrible living in a house where people were screaming at each other all day. And then when my father came home, he would beat me up. And I was the only one he hit. But because they were in this miserable relationship, the children suffered. And that's fine. And in those days, people stayed together either for the kids or for necessity or for whatever reason. They stayed together. And when you stay together for the sake of the kids, or because how will it look if we're not together, or how will, you know, you get married for life, well, you know what? It's overrated. It's an institution. Marriage is an institution, and it's an institution that is not necessarily in the best interest of everyone. But the point is that when you have integrity, you live happy. You live happy because you just don't put up with stuff. I don't put up with people in my life that are miserable. Even though I live with a person who's miserable, my son, he's a little cranky, he's brain damaged. That's expected. I know he can't take care of himself, and I know that I have to be there to do for him what he can't do for himself. But yet there's a lot that he can do, and I know there's a lot that he can do. And so I don't do anything for him that I know that he can do for himself. And this has a lot to do with his self-esteem. It builds on his self-esteem because he doesn't just lay back and say, Mom, give me this or give me that. No, he earns everything that he gets. And even though he's grouchy and he's always in a bad mood, I don't let it bother me because I go off into my own thing and I do my own thing. I go into my room. That's my sanctuary. I close my door. He's out there doing whatever he wants to do. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. If he were in my face 24/7 or most of the time or any part of the time, he couldn't live with me. And I could make that choice and say, you got to go, because I've done it before. But he's gotten to the point where he leaves me alone, I leave him alone, and when we come together, we talk, and when he doesn't want to talk anymore, he gets up and he leaves. And that's fine. I know that that's the way he is. But I am not going to live with a person who, especially a man who's living with me, sleeping in my bed, and being grouchy and bitching and whining and complaining. No, that does not work with me. I don't go there. Because my integrity says I will not allow, I said one day, no one will ever touch me again. And when I say touch me, I'm talking about beating, because I was beaten and I was tortured and I was brutalized for many, many, many years. And when I said that's it, no one's going to touch me again. No one has. And so I have built this circle around me, and only certain people are allowed. And it isn't that there aren't people around me that are cruel. This is not cruel to me. They know better because I don't allow them to get that close. And if someone is close to me and I notice that they have the tendency to be cruel, they got to go. I don't care who it is. My youngest son is a pain in the ass, and he is. He's, you know, he's a Sagittarius, and sometimes he's great and he's sweet and he's adorable, and there are other times where I have to tell him, you got to go. You have got to go. When my kids were younger, they were teenagers, they were into drugs and they were into a lot of things, I would not let them into my house. And a lot of times I would see them in the street and they'd come up to me, and I lived in New Jersey where it's cold. And they would come up to me and they would ask me for a dollar, or they would ask me for something, and I would say no. One, because tough love. Two, because if I gave them or if I enabled them, they were going to die. And if I didn't enable them, well, they ran the risk of dying, but at least I wasn't contributing to that. And so I was able to say no to them, and I didn't allow them in my house because they were destructive. When they cleaned up their act, they were welcome in my house anytime. They could come to my house. And it doesn't mean I didn't love them, and it doesn't mean that I didn't cry when I walked down the street and I knew my son was cold and hungry, but I couldn't do anything for him. And so I had to learn that I had to detach. And last week we were talking about attachment, and these are the attachments sometimes that we have that we don't realize. We think, oh, I have to do for my kids. No, they're adults now. They're adults, and they have the right to do with their life whatever they want. They have the right to make whatever decisions they want. I don't need to be there telling them what they need to do. Because one day I'm not going to be there anymore. I taught them what I taught them. Whatever it was I taught them, that was it. I taught them. Now I can't teach them anything. Now whatever they're going to learn through their personal experience. Integrity means allowing other people to be who they are. Leave them alone. Don't keep getting into people's lives and having an opinion. A friend of mine called me the other day. She lives in the Dominican Republic, and she's a friend of mine. And she came for a week, and she wanted to meet with a friend of ours, another friend of ours. And she said, well, I talked to so-and-so, and she told me that she couldn't see me yesterday because she had to go do her nails. And, well, I agree. I give her permission to do that. And I went, what? You give her permission? And she said, yeah, well, she'd rather do her nails than to be with me. And I said, well, let's go back. You give her permission to do her nails? Who are you? Who the hell are you to give someone else permission to do something? This woman made a decision, and it doesn't matter whether she wanted to be with you or didn't want to be with you. She's going to meet with you today, so fine. So you agreed. And where do you get off giving someone else permission to do anything? And so this is what we do all the time. We agree or disagree based on our approval. And she couldn't understand that she was giving an approval or disapproving. The whole thing is that if you think it's okay that somebody does something, then you're approving what they do. If you say, no, I don't think that that's the right thing for that person to do, then you're disapproving. And who are you to have that opinion? That's the question I have to ask. And that's the question you have to ask. Who are you to decide that somebody shouldn't wear their hair the way they're wearing it, or that they shouldn't pierce their nose, or they shouldn't pierce their tongue? And, I mean, when that piercing thing came out, it was like, oh, my God. And I wouldn't do it to myself, but other people do it to themselves. A friend of mine came to me one day, pulled up her skirt and said, pulled up her blouse and said, look, and she had pierced her belly button. And I went like, ooh. You know, it was. I got all squeamish and sick. I literally got nauseous but I wouldn't do it to myself. If she wants to do it to herself, that's fine. I thought it looked great. And as long as you don't impose your will on me, I'm fine, because I'm not going to impose my will on you. I will give you information. What you do with that information, not my problem. I have people who get angry because they give their kids or somebody advice, and then they get upset because they didn't take my advice. I told her. I've been telling Betty, go to the doctor. I stopped telling Betty to go to the doctor. She wants to go. She told me today, oh, I don't feel well. I'm coughing again. I said, good, don't go to the doctor. Stay home, whine, bitch, and complain, and when you die, I'll bury your ass. I'll go and I'll put a rose on your casket. I don't have a problem doing that. Because if you don't care for yourself, I don't care. It's no problem for me to do whatever it is that I want to do once you mess yourself up. I mean, everybody has the right to go to hell with themselves any way they choose. I don't have to agree or disagree with it. I don't have to like it or dislike it. The reality is that we're all adults. When it comes to kids, that's a different story. We teach. But we don't teach our kids. We control our kids. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do that. Do. And we don't tell them why. We don't say, okay, if you do this, this could happen. And if you do that, that could happen. So you have a choice. When my grandson used to come to my house, he lived with me for a while. And I would tell him, it's time for you to go take a bath. And he'd say, I don't want to take a bath. Okay, then you're going to bed. And he'd say, I don't want to go to bed. No, you have to choose. You either take a bath or you go to bed. Which is it going to be? And there is no anything in between. And so he would make the choice. Okay, then I'll go take a bath. Or okay, then I'll go to sleep. and he went to bed dirty many times. And then in the morning, he'd have to take a bath. He didn't like taking a bath in the morning because he liked to sleep later. So he learned that if he wanted to be happy, he had to take the bath the night before. And so I didn't have to torture myself with it. All I had to do was give him the choice. And with adults, I don't have to give them choices. You know what your choices are. You say you want to be happy. And ask yourself, do you want to be happy? What is it that you want? Do you want to be happy? Then do the things that you know that you have to do that will make you happy. But what happens is that we don't, and this is where your integrity comes in. You say you want to be happy, but then you do stuff that makes you unhappy. So when I used to drink, and I would get drunk, and I'd fight with half the world around me. And the next day, I was miserable and afraid to answer the phone, and afraid to go to enter my door because I didn't know who was coming after me, because I know I messed up. I don't necessarily remember what I did the night before, but I knew I had messed up. And that went on, that vicious circle went on. I kept saying I wanted to be happy, but I kept doing things that did not make me happy. And I had to learn that if I want to be happy, I have to do things that are in my best interest. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to do something in my best interest and wind up hurting other people, because that's not in my best interest. And so what I need to do is learn that if I want to be happy, I have to do things that are in my best interest, not in the best interest of humanity. See, when I do whatever it is that I have to do, or that I want to do, I have to think first: am I going to hurt myself or someone else? Because if I hurt myself, I'm definitely hurting humanity. If I hurt humanity, I'm definitely hurting myself. If I disrespect you, I am definitely disrespecting myself. And this is what the important thing is. Look at what's in your best interest. If you don't want to go to jail, don't kill anybody. Don't steal. Don't do things that later on are going to come and bite you in the ass. Because the reality is that if you want to be happy, if you want to wake up tomorrow with a smile on your face, do what you need to do today to take care of that. If you want to wake up tomorrow with a good job, go out and get a good education. Do whatever it is that you need to do to get that good job, to make the money that you want to make. But don't whine, bitch, and complain because you don't have any money and then you're not doing anything to earn it. And this is where your integrity comes in. You want to be happy, then do what you have to do to be happy. If you're fighting all the time, if you're whining, bitching, and complaining, then you can't be happy. And when you talk about what you want, and this is very important, when you talk about what you want because you want to be happy, then do the things that will create what you want. We're all vibrational beings. We know that. That's quantum physics. And we're all vibrational beings, and we're all thinking about the things that we want. But what happens is that a lot of times when we think about what we want, we say, this is what I want, but then we criticize. In other words, you want money? Stop criticizing people who have money. You want a car? Stop criticizing people who have beautiful cars. Be happy for other people. When they get something, be happy, because when you're happy with someone else's success, you become successful because you're attracting success. If you listen to Deepak Chopra and you know a little bit about the quantum physics, you'll know that that's where it That's what it's all about. It's all about asking for what you want. If you want a car, don't whine and bitch and complain about people who have cars. Don't whine and bitch and complain about things, people who have things that you want. Be happy for them. Be glad and see yourself in that car. See yourself in that house. See yourself in that relationship. Because when you think, and your thoughts are what create what you want. So when you think, I want a car, and then you criticize somebody because they have a car, you're contradicting yourself. You say you want to be happy, and then you're arguing with somebody. You want a good relationship, but you're constantly whining, bitching, and complaining about the relationship that you're in. You want a good job, but you're complaining about your job. You're the one that makes the situation what it is. It doesn't up and back doing this. You make whatever situation you're in, you have created it. And you have created it with your thoughts. And it's not that you say, well, you know, I hate this person or I hate that person. The fact that you hate, or the fact that you dislike, or the fact that you disapprove of anything. I have a friend who is constantly telling me, oh, my God, look how tall that person is. They shouldn't be so tall. Or, oh, my God, that must be hormones. Oh, my God, look at her hair. Look. And always criticizing everybody. She said to me one day, look at that person over there. That person should have surgery on their ears and their nose because their nose is too big and their ears are so floppy. And who cares? And she's constantly dressing people and undressing them, and they shouldn't be wearing this and they shouldn't be wearing that, and they should go here to buy their clothes or they should go there. Who cares? And she's always broke, and she's always complaining that she's broke. And so when we do that, look at what you're thinking. What are you thinking? We have a phrase in our vocabulary that we need to get rid of. And the phrase is, what's wrong with you? How many times a day do you hear yourself or somebody else say, what's wrong with you? What were you thinking? And every now and then, you got to ask that question because, you know, some people do some things that are like, whoa. But for the most part, no, you don't need to ask that question. Because there's nothing wrong with us. We are who we are. We make mistakes. We have the right to make those mistakes. And we make mistakes so that we can learn. If you don't learn from your mistake, you're condemned to repeat them over and over and over again. So listen to your thoughts. What are you thinking about? When your toxic ego is thinking and criticizing and whining and bitching and complaining about everything, then what's happening is that you're creating that atmosphere. And that's what's going to be happening in your life. Did you ever ask yourself, why does this always happen to me? We do it all the time. I knew I shouldn't have done that. This always happens to me. I knew I shouldn't have gotten into this relationship. All men are bastards. Well, no, the men you pick are bastards. But there are some good men out there. I don't know where they are, but they're out there, I'm sure. Point being that you have to be careful with what you're thinking. Begin to change your vocabulary. What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying about other people? What are you thinking? And usually you'll find that the thoughts that you're thinking are the same all the time. All the time. I should have told him. I should have done this. I should have said that. I'm so stupid. Those are phrases that you need to eliminate from your vocabulary, and many more. When you want your self-esteem to go up, then start talking about what you want. When you go to a restaurant, You don't ask for what you don't want. You ask for what you want. So ask for what you want. Somewhere it's written that ask and you shall be whatever, knock and the door shall open, something like that. Well, it's true. But you have to ask for what you want. You're getting what you're asking for. Whatever your life is right now, you're asking for that. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to cry anymore. Well, the universe is saying, oh, cry? Okay, I'll give you some more. See? You're asking for the pain. You're asking for the discomfort. You're asking for the suffering. So the universe doesn't know. The universal consciousness only knows that you ask for it and you're getting it. The universal consciousness doesn't know from negative or positive. It just knows what you're asking for. It's like asking for paint. You want pink paint or you want blue paint? You say, I don't want blue paint. The universal consciousness does not recognize I do not. All it recognizes is I want blue. So if you wanted pink, you got blue because that's what you're asking for. If you want to stop crying, if you want to stop feeling miserable, then you ask for what you want. If you're not miserable, then what are you? What would your day look like if you weren't miserable today? And then switch it. Well, if I weren't miserable, then I would be at peace. So what does at peace look like? I would be sitting in my easy chair, or I'd be going for a walk. The breeze would be blowing through my hair. I would be jogging. I would be eating my favorite cake or my favorite this or my favorite. Talk about what you want. See in your thoughts, see it. Actually see it. Because if I say to you, wow, there was a car accident down the street the other day and there were six cars involved, you can see the picture of six cars involved in an accident. And one of them was turned upside down. And you can see that. You can actually see that picture. You close your eyes and you can see it. So if you can see that image of some tragedy, then you can see the same image of what you want. I want to be walking down the street just feeling the breeze going through my hair. And you can see your hair blowing in the wind. And maybe if you have a dress on and you're a woman, you see your dress kind of flowing back and forth in the breeze. Or if you're a man and you can feel your shirt on your body just kind of moving around from the wind blowing. And not wind blowing, but the breeze just blowing on you. That wonderful, comfortable, not cold, not hot breeze. That nice, beautiful. And when you can see the image, you got it. And that's what you're vibrating. That's what you're creating. That's what you're asking for. That's what you're going to get. And become aware of when you walk outside, what does the breeze feel like on your body? What does it feel like to just kind of walk and kind of fast walk or jog or even run or just plain old stroll along, just minding your own business, doing your own thing? And before you know it, all of your feelings begin to change because you're staying in the present and you're observing exactly what it is that is happening right here and right now. I recommend, and I know a lot of you probably have already read it, The Power of Now with Edgar Tolle. He wrote the book The Power of Now. And he has a lot of good stuff in there. Read it. It'll help you to see how to stay in the present, how to stay in the here and now. Feel how your skin feels on your body. Look at your nails. Are they long? Are they short? Do you smoke? When you're smoking, actually see that smoke going down into your lungs and turning everything black. And if that's what you like, then knock yourself out. Most people that I know that that smoke, they don't want to know. They don't want to see their lungs black, and all they know is that it feels good when I smoke. They don't realize and they don't want to know how dangerous it is and how they're poisoning their bodies. And that's fine. You don't have to see it. When you get cancer and you go to the doctor and he says you got to stop smoking, then you'll consider it or not. I know a guy who had emphysema, and he took his mattress apart and took the inside of the mattress, which was made out of hay or some stuff, and he rolled up and smoked that. You know, that's what he wanted to do. That's what he did. And it's not a matter of that it's right or it's wrong. That's what he wanted to do. That was his choice. And he said, I know I'm messing myself up, but I don't care. And so if you don't care, why should anybody else? See? And so when you're going against yourself, don't talk about low self-esteem, because you're creating that low self-esteem. You're creating those feelings of not liking yourself. If you truly love yourself, you will do everything in your power to take care of yourself. If you say, I smoke, but I can't help it, yeah, you can. You actually can. You just have to go through the trouble and the pain. You have to give up the pleasure and be willing to feel the discomfort that comes with the withdrawal symptoms. And if you're not willing to do that, then knock yourself out. Keep smoking. Keep drinking. Keep doing what you're doing as long as you feel good doing it. When you stop feeling good doing it, then what can I tell you? My son smoked, the one that passed away. He knew he should not have been smoking because his lungs weren't working properly. His heart wasn't working properly. And it wasn't until he went into congestive heart failure that he got scared. And he knew he was terminally ill. He knew it. And yet he continued to smoke. And I didn't buy his cigarettes for him, but I didn't tell him to stop. He knew. He knew he should stop, and he chose not to. So whether it prolonged his life or it didn't prolong his life, I had no say there. I had no power there to say that, stop smoking, and he would stop smoking. So what I did was I turned it over. I have no power there. When you know that you do not have the power to change certain things, you can accept them. The serenity prayer, we went through that one a long time ago. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And I didn't drive myself crazy with my son when he didn't want to stop smoking. There was nothing I could do. So it's a matter of when you do what is in your best interest and recognizing that there are certain things that you can do and certain things you don't have the power to do and you're going crazy. Betty's brother got himself in really serious problems not too long ago, and he went to jail, and she was going crazy because he was in jail, and she couldn't understand it at first that, hey, you have no power over that. He made a decision, and he committed a crime, and so now he's paying for it. It's that simple. You make a decision, and you get either the rewards or the consequences. Whatever the result is, you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. And so when you can say to yourself, okay, that's not my problem. I didn't make that decision for him. He made that decision for himself. Excuse me. And accept it, because there's nothing you can do about it. Then your self-esteem starts to go up, because the pressure of the world, when you can't solve other people's problems, and when you can't get involved in other people's lives and manipulate and change and control, and you let go of all of that, the whole world lifts from your shoulders. It's like, whoa, now I'm light. Now I can go on with my life. I don't have to worry about anybody's life. Whatever decisions they make, that's up to them. My daughter just went back to college. Now, she's back in college because she chose. Years ago, I was harassing her and harassing her until she finally registered. She lasted one semester and then she quit. And there was nothing I could do about it. Now, all of a sudden, one day she comes up to me and she says, I'm going back to college. Boom. This is what I want to do. And she's doing it. And so I had no power one way or the other to influence her into doing something she didn't want to do. So for now, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to have play a song from Alma. It's called Pena Penita. Pena means, could mean sadness or too bad. In this case, it means too bad, too bad. Okay? And I'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy.
Otro de bocado que no sabe a dónde va. Es un desierto de arena.
All right. Beautiful. Okay, so we're talking today about what are we talking about? Is it on our level? Attachment, self-esteem, codependency, integrity. Integrity, integrity, and more integrity. We live in a world where, for the most part, we don't have integrity. And go to a store nowadays. They don't care. You go in there, the customer service is terrible in most places. It used to be when I was younger, you went into a store and people greeted you and they were happy to see you. And nowadays, you walk in, nobody even looks at you. And the only time they pay attention to you is when you're getting ready to pay. I went to a restaurant the other day, and when we finished, we had to sit there and wait for our check. And I told them, I said, excuse me, but can we have a check? And they said, and one of them actually said, you'll have to wait. It was like what? We have to wait? So we got up and we started to leave. And then all of a sudden, they paid attention to us. All of a sudden, then it was different. Oh, okay, well, we can't let them walk out without paying. But, you know, like if you don't say something, if you don't let them know that you're there, it's like you're invisible. Nobody cares. And that's the way it is. It's not a good thing or bad thing. It is what it is. And most of us, for the most part, we're just living in quiet desperation because nobody cares. For real, nobody cares. And so we get to the point where we get just as passive aggressive as everybody else, and we begin to not care. But the important thing is that there are a lot of people out there that do care. Who are you attracting to you? What are you attracting to yourself? I would not go back to that restaurant that was so nonchalant with us. Yet I went to another restaurant where they were all over us to the point where we were saying, okay, look, now you got to move. Because do you want this and do you want that? Can we bring you this? Can we bring you that? And it was nice that we were getting that attention. And it felt good, a little overwhelming while we were in the middle of our meal and trying to have a conversation. But still, that's the kind of a place that it was. It was a family place. It was a place that they were part of whatever it was that we were a part of. And when that happens, it's a matter of just enjoying it. And they were setting a good example, because when you come from a place where the customer service is just so, I don't give a damn, you know, if you want to return something, yes, so what? Go to a major department store, and they act like they're doing you a favor when they're helping you out. There's nobody on the aisles. You're looking for something, and to find someone that works there, you know, you have to have a map and a road map and binoculars, and there's nobody there. And then you go to the front and you say, could somebody help me from where I am? And they'll call somebody over the intercom and say, you know. It's very so informal nowadays that we have forgotten the human aspect. It happened to me at my job. They started cutting down. I'm a professor, and they started cutting down on my classes. And I said, well, but wait a minute, you know, this is my livelihood. And the person that had cut down on all of my classes, she said, well, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about what's in the best interest of the university. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. So when I leave, I'm going to leave because of what's in my best interest. And I can't get upset because they don't owe me anything. I'm an employee. And I take what they give me or not. And it's, you know, I have to have a plan B. I have to look now and redo myself, make myself over again. I'm 70 years old. What can I do? I got a plan B. And it won't be long before I'm not there anymore. But the point is that if I'm there, I can't complain because I'm not making the salary I used to make, because it is what it is. They have changed everything around to the point where now it's not in my best interest to stay there. So I have to look, and I have to find someplace else, because now I have to look for something that I enjoy. That is a job. There in that job, they see me as an employee. And that's fine. They're trying to, you know, they give me a job, they pay me. They don't do me any favors. I don't do them any favors by being there. I get paid for being there. And I can't whine and bitch and complain because my income now is lower because I don't get the same amount of classes of students that I used to get before. So that's fine. Now I have to make a decision in my life of what's in my best interest. They're looking out for their best interest, and that's fine. They have every right to do that. I don't have the right to whine, bitch, and complain just because things have changed. I have to now decide whether I want to stay there or not. And so whatever choice I make, I'm making it consciously without being upset and without being angry. And after working there almost 9 years, all of a sudden now they're doing this to me. No, they're not doing anything to me. They are doing what they need to do to streamline the university, to make money for whoever they're going to make money for, and things change. And we have to learn to adapt to the changes. We can't complain because things aren't the way they used to be. No, they're not. So now I have to personally decide, will I stay here and suffer, or will I supplement this income, or will I quit, or what am I going to do? And so I have to make the decision of what's in my best interest. I can't worry about whether people are going to get hurt if I quit. I'm the only one in my department. So, yeah, they're going to have to look for somebody else, and they're going to go through their transition. That's not my problem. They're making their decisions. I have to make my decisions. The same thing in relationships. If one of the partners makes a decision to change something and the other partner does not agree, then the other partner just has to make another decision. Do I stay in this relationship? Do I not stay in this relationship? Is it in my best interest? Is it in his best interest or her best interest? But I have to look at what's best for me. What is in my best interest? What do I have to do so that my life can be what I want it to be, not what somebody else wants it to be? When I was growing up, my father said to me I had to be a doctor, a medical doctor. I didn't want to be a medical doctor. I wanted to be a secretary. So he said, well, I'm not paying for your school. And that's fine. So I didn't become a secretary. He didn't think I was smart enough. Yet he thought I was smart enough to be a doctor, but not a secretary. Hello. On one hand, he said I was stupid. On the other hand, he said I was brilliant, because you have to be brilliant to be a doctor. And I don't mean a PhD. I mean an MD. There's a lot you have to remember. I wasn't into that. But I was a good secretary. I typed, and I still type, and I did things in the offices. I was very organized, and I can do a lot of things, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I fell in lust or love or whatever you want to call it, and then I got married, and then I had kids, and then life went on. And then I decided, okay, I want to have a PhD. I didn't want to be an MD, but I wanted to be a psychologist, so that's what I did. You know, you have to do what you have to do for what's in your best interest. It's not what I want to do for me. It's not what I want to do and climb over someone else to get it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that if I move up, how many people are going to move up with me? And if nobody, I mean, I've done things in my life where I said, come, I'll help you. And people have said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so fine, then don't do it. This is what I want to do. And I went and I moved on. When I went to college, a lot of people that registered with me and were in the first classes with me, the second class, half the class had dropped out. And by the time I graduated, it was just a handful of us, of the same people that registered with me and started with me. So it's a matter of, I can't concern myself about what other people want and what other people are doing. You can't concern yourself with that. You have to decide what's in your best interest. What do you have to do to be a better person, to be a better parent, to be a better child, to be a better family member? What is it that you have to do to better yourself? When you better yourself, everybody around you benefits, because you learn to do something. And my kids, my grandson, he calls me Dr. Grandma, and I call him Dr. Grandson, because I've given him through example, I've shown him that he can do it too. And so now his mother is back in college, and he's all excited, and he's brought up his grades. And we haven't had to yell and scream or fight with him to do his homework. No, he himself has brought up his grades. As a matter of fact, he got his grades last week, and Friday he said, Mom, he's 13, he said, Mother, I am going to stay up all night and play on the PlayStation. I'm going to play games all night. And my daughter said, okay. She went to bed and left him playing on the PlayStation. And when he got tired, he went to bed. Because it's not a matter of controlling. No, you have to go to bed now. No, it's a matter of show the example. Teach through example, because that's how we learn. You can't yell at your kids and curse at your kids and expect them not to yell and curse. You can't smoke and expect your kids not to smoke. And you can't drink and get rowdy and get stupid and expect your kids not to do the same. It's a matter of, what is it that you want? You want you want to be happy, and you want your family to be happy, then do what you need to do to make that happen. But you can't do the opposite of what you want to do and then expect the rest of them to do what you say and not what you do. We learn through example. We don't learn through yelling and screaming and demanding. We learn through example. So if you set a good example, then you're going to get the result. This is what you're planting. You plant a seed. And when that seed is ready to give fruit, it's going to give the fruit that you planted. You can't plant tomatoes and expect to get oranges. It's not going to happen. So if you want oranges, then plant oranges. If you want whatever it is that you want, then I have a mango tree in front of my house, and I have an avocado tree in the back of my house. And I can't expect the avocado tree to give me mangoes and vice versa, because it's not going to happen, and we know it's not going to happen. So what we want to learn to do is to stay in the present. Observe your thoughts. What are you thinking? Observe your breathing. And you say, right now I'm inhaling, and breathe in. Right now I'm exhaling, and breathe out. And right now I'm inhaling. That's how I go to sleep at night. I don't concern myself with what I had to do or what I didn't do or what I should be doing or who's doing what. No, I breathe in right now, this minute, I am doing this. This minute, I am doing that. And if I'm doing the relaxation meditation, right now, I am moving my toes. And right now, I am relaxing my ankles. And right now, my instep is relaxing. And right now, and right now, and right now. And before you know it, I barely get up to my hips, and I'm done. And when I wake up in the morning, I say, right now, I am waking up. And right now, my cat wants to go out because I can hear my cat scratching on my door. And so, or my doggy is, you know, fighting with my cat. This morning, it was cold here last night, so my cats were inside. And they hate each other. And they fight. And this morning, just as I was waking up, they know when you're waking up, and they knew I was waking up. And the next thing I know, boy, they were hissing and screaming at each other because they wanted to go out. And they were in my bedroom, and my bedroom door was locked. So learn. It wasn't locked. It was closed. Learn how to stay in the present. Observe the contact that your body is making with whatever it is. If you're laying down, what part of your body is touching the mattress? What part of your body is not touching the mattress? Or if you're sitting down, what part of your body is touching the chair? What, your back, observe your back. What part of your body is touching the back of the chair? And you'll notice, this is a trick question. I said, what part of your body is touching the back of the chair? And the reality is that no part of your body is touching the back of the chair because your blouse or your shirt is touching the back of the chair. And your back is touching the inside of that shirt or that blouse. See? So we have to be careful when we say, what part of your foot is touching? Oh, how does it feel? How do your feet feel touching the ground? Well, if you have shoes on, your feet are not touching the ground. The shoe is touching the ground. And the bottom of your feet are touching the top of your shoe, the inside of your shoe. Be that picky. Be that observant. What, if you're wearing earrings, what part of your ear is the earring in? And how does it feel when having this thing dangling from your ear? And how do your fingers feel touching whatever it is that they're touching? And how do your elbows feel touching whatever it is that they're touching? Which elbow is touching the chair? Which one is up in the air? What are your knees doing? What is the base of your spine doing? This is what we have to start observing. When we're going to stay in the present, you have to, what does the breeze feel like on your face? Is there a breeze on your face right now? There's air all around us. Is that air affecting us in any way? Is it cold? Is it warm? Are you hungry? Are you tired? What is your belly telling you? Is your belly telling you, oh, I want to eat? Or, I sure could go for an ice cream right now? Or whatever it is. So I'm going to say goodbye to you for now, and I will be seeing you again next week, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Inner Work with your host, Dr. Nydia. For more information on Dr. Nydia, please visit her website at www.draniidia.com, Dr. Nydia. And for radio show information, visit www.earthangelsradio.com. That's earthangelsradio.com. Dr. Nydia will help you to face your inner self.